I'll invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 4. Or Psalm 4, sorry. In a moment, we're going to do a congregational reading of Psalm 4. So just be prepared for that. But a couple of weeks ago, in Bristol, Connecticut, firefighters responded to a strange call. There was a man trapped in the chimney of a building in the park. Now, how this happened was the building had automatic locks that engaged after 10 p.m. At some point, the man had been there in the building earlier with his dog. But for some reason, at 10 o'clock, his dog was still inside and the doors locked. In order to try to rescue his dog, he entered by the chimney of the building and ended up getting stuck inside it. The firefighters had to take the chimney apart in order to rescue him. And you can only imagine how much the man felt in distress. And I got thinking about this, that I'm sure he didn't start the day out thinking, I'm going to get stuck in a chimney, right? I mean, that's not how you would go. But he was in distressing circumstances. And I'm sure it's an extreme example. And even recently, we can think about those miners in BC, right, who got trapped and how concerning that was. Thankfully, they were rescued. But life is like that. Sometimes ordinary days turn out to be quite challenging. And I'm grateful that God, who made us, cares for us no matter the circumstances we face. Today, we're looking at Psalm 4. I think it's very appropriate for this morning. It's appropriate for every day. But David is in distress, and the distress is felt. It's very real, and he keenly feels that. But there's a key difference for a child of God when it comes to distress. We know who to turn to in both our extraordinary and ordinary days of distress. And so let us look to this psalm and know that the hope of David is our hope in distress when we trust in the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to read along with me. When it says congregation, please read with me. This is Psalm 4, to the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But, you know, before himself, Lord hears when I call him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts and on your beds and be silent. Offer, right? There are many who will say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Father, as we look at your word this morning, may we know that these words of David are words for us, that this is your truth. And may we learn, may we lament, and may we praise. Help us understand this text well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a psalm of lament, Psalm 4. David can cry out to God and let his troubles be known. In fact, did you know that in the Psalms, there are more psalms of lament than there are of praise? It is the most dominant theme of the Psalms. But don't confuse lament with complaining, because it's not the same thing. Lament psalms are very important because they let the person who is struggling, put their burdens before the Lord. I cannot emphasize how important it is for us to be able to do this, to be able to bear the deepest worries of our souls before God. We are made to feel, and to lament is a visceral experience where our pain is felt deeply. But it does not lead to despair. The Psalm of Lament leads us to God because not only do we acknowledge our pain and our distress, but we look to God to help us and leave the results according to His will. And in the end, this leaves us unburdened and able to trust God. And then to praise Him. I will go as far as to say that if you don't go through this process of lament when you need to, you are in danger of developing bitterness instead of trust in the Lord. God gave us the Psalms for our good, and they are necessary for our life of worship. Psalm 86, verse 7 says, "In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me." Now, Psalm 3, one psalm before, is a serious situation. David is facing that Absalom, his son, is looking to usurp the throne. It's not just another challenger to the throne, but his very son. This must have been absolutely heartbreaking for David. Psalm 4, on the other hand, does not seem to have a particular circumstance. And so, it's just an ordinary day. And there are big deal things, and there are ordinary days where we are in distress. God is not there just to bail us out of the big challenges we face, although He certainly will be with us in those. But He's with us in the ordinary days when there is still a weight upon our shoulders. In other words, God is with us all the time. The occasion of this psalm seems to be that there are some wicked people, quite possibly with some strong social ties of influence, who are making a mockery of David and his kingship and his trust in God. But we're going to see how a lament unfolds now. First of all, David begins calling out to God for an answer. This is not a petulant, angry cry of despair. David is calling in confidence. He's asking God to answer him because he knows that there is no one else who can help him. He calls to God, the God of his righteousness. David knows that he is in a right standing before God, but his right standing is not of his own doing. God is both the righteous one and the one who makes us righteous. As sinners, we can't be righteous before God of our own doing, because our sin prevents that. But praise God, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, who came and died on a cross, who shed His blood. His shed blood covers over our sin. And when it covers over our sin, we stand before God under the blood of Jesus Christ, righteous. That is our hope. All who confess their sin and trust in Jesus will be made righteous. But it is God who makes us righteous. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." So David is trusting in God for redemption and being made righteous. He looked to the cross, and we look back. He was anticipating the day of the Messiah, but we can be grateful that hope has been fulfilled in Jesus. And so David makes it clear, "God, I need your help. I have received relief from you before when I was in distress." This is a necessary part of lament, remembering when God has delivered you previously. I cannot say how important it is to remember what God has done in your life. Because when Satan has you against the ropes, when life has you against the ropes, your mind will become forgetful. You need to go back to the grace of God and the times that he has helped you before. Even writing them down. Because God has never abandoned us. And when we remember, it helps us to trust for the future. Why do you think the Israelites were told over and over again to write it down, to remember, right? Because it was important. Psalm 78:7 says, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So that's why in Psalm 4, it says, you have given me relief when I was in distress. David laments, but he remembers that God has delivered him previously. We need to make every effort to remember. That will sustain us. That's part of lament. And then he humbles himself before God. Be gracious and hear my prayer. There is no arrogance in David's tone. And I think this is the difference between truly seeking God and being bitter with God. A bitter attitude is, God, do what I expect right now. While a humble attitude is, be gracious and hear my prayer. See, there's a qualitative difference between these two approaches. Both of them say, God, I need your help. Both bring that frustration. And let me say, it is not wrong to bring your frustration and your pain to the Lord. People think that they're burdening God. You can't burden God. He is pleased when his children desperately need him and cry out to him. But the difference between the two is that one trusts God and wants him to answer according to his mercy, which means you're willing to accept an outcome that may not be what you intended. And the other is an attitude of bitterness that doesn't trust God, but it feels entitled to order God around if things don't go your way. And you get angry with God. That's why, look, we have to deal with our emotions. We have to deal with the burdens of our heart. We need to lament, because otherwise we don't process things properly. It's healthy to pour your grievances out before God. And it's healthy to know that he's king of your life, and that he knows better than you do, and that he has a better plan for your life than you do, even when it's difficult. Do you think that God is disinterested in your prayers? You couldn't be more wrong. Why does it say in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you? For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven good give things to those who ask him? And now we hear the lament. Here's the clear issue. There are men, David is saying, that are turning his honor into shame. They use vain words. They seek after lies. This is affecting David deeply. And we don't need to know exactly what it is to know that we too suffer through that kind of thing. There are people who have spoke against us, who have told lies about us, who humiliate us. And David feels this deeply. How long, O Lord, will this go? How long? Every moment of this agony, he's feeling it. He's struggling, but he doesn't keep it in. He cries out to God. He lets God know that he is feeling, and that it's been going on for too long for him, and it's humiliating. God is not annoyed when you pour out your heart to him this way. But it's with that posture of humility and reverence, and that's key. And then you should note in this psalm that as we weigh that, David then says, Pause. There's the Selah, the holy pause. We don't know exactly what that is, but these were based on music, so it was probably an instrumental meant to help you reflect on what was just said. I'm not going to stand up here for 30 seconds and just let you think about it. It's awkward. But let's keep going. What might surprise us here is that David, in his lament and pouring out his heart of troubles, there's still concern for those who are causing him grief. David is reminded that Yahweh, the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, the covenant-keeping God with whom he has a real relationship, sets the godly apart for himself. Now consider that God not only knows you personally if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, but he sets you apart. He is able to differentiate between you and the wicked. And I know in the middle of a storm, it doesn't feel like that sometimes, because people are humiliating you and embarrassing you and speaking lies, and other people might be chiming in, and you feel like there's all this loud noise coming in, and it just feels like clouds of darkness. And God says, I see you. I've set you apart. You're mine. I'm not swayed by these things. I've redeemed you. I know you. That's the hope that we have. He sets us apart. Your life is in God's hands. And that's why David says that God hears when I call to him. They can be, the whole chorus can be loud, loud, loud. And God hears you cry to him because he knows you personally. His ear is inclined to the prayers of his children. 1 John 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And this is the confidence of those who hold to eternal life that we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's why with a lament, it's not just do what I want, God. It's according to his will. May you be gracious to me. Now, it's interesting because then there seems to be this gospel call. David cries out to the wicked to repent. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Now, this verse has often been misused because, unfortunately, the Hebrew word is a difficult word to translate for angry. It's actually not the word angry. The word basically is to tremble violently. Now, that can be interpreted as anger. But if you look at the context of this passage, that just does not make sense. Why is he calling on those who are wicked to be angry but not to sin? That just doesn't fit. But here, the idea of trembling can also mean to take very seriously something that is happening. And so the idea is, tremble in fear before God. Shake violently because your wickedness, God's wrath, is upon it. And do not sin. And ponder in your own hearts and on your beds and be silent. Woe unto you who would do wicked things. But the call is to wake up, to think about what you're doing. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, to our God, that he will abundantly pardon. And then there's another holy pause. And then we come to the conclusion of the Psalm of Lament. David has laid out his concerns. He has remembered that God saves. He calls sinners to repentance. And what happens when you do that? the burden is lifted. Because something has happened. He's gone in with a very real felt burden. And I doubt that there's a person sitting here who hasn't felt exactly what's going on in this passage. But David, he can call sinners to action to demonstrate how God makes all the difference, to stop believing vain and empty lies, to trust God, to offer right sacrifices, not to chase after idols. David can now rise above the noise of those who would seek to humiliate him, who would seek to tell lies. Days of distress will come again for David and for us. Many will say, "Who can show us some good?" You know what that's saying? People are saying, "Oh, where is your God?" Many will say, "Where is your God? Look, you're going through things. Where is your God now? I'm doing better than you. Where is your God? Your circumstances are terrible. Where is your God?" And what does David do? He doesn't react anymore. He's not undone by criticism. He's not undone by the attacks of his enemies. Instead, his hope is refreshed. What does David want? "Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound." All David wants, he's not worried about the noise here. He looks up to God and he's like, "God, I just want your face to shine upon me." And that means essentially that God would bless him with mercy, grace, and favor. Numbers chapter 6, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Even when the wicked seem to prosper with their abundant crops. Look, they're doing better than me. They have abundant grain and wine. And my joy doesn't come from material prosperity. My joy comes from you, O Lord. You have to put this all out before God. You have to go through the exercise. Joy, David's joy stemmed from knowing God, trusting God. In fact, God was his greatest treasure. Is it any wonder that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord"? And again, I say, rejoice. Why is it so important that we learn to biblically lament? Well, it's vital to our spiritual survival. It's not complaining. To lament is to pour out your heart to God and to see him for who he is and to allow his will to be done. It's so that even when you are in distress, you don't have to be undone. You can still worship God. And then he says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone have made me dwell in safety." Peace, shalom is the word. That kind of peace. It's an all-encompassing peace. It's total peace. It's well-being in every way, safety, welfare, a right relationship with God, a right relationship with others. It is total and complete. This kind of peace comes from God, and it's real in the middle of distress. If you don't know Jesus, this peace will elude you. Turn to him today, trust in him, be saved, and this peace will flood your life. That's why David says he can put his head on his pillow at night and sleep. Because nothing a man does or says can undo his peace, because God alone gives it to him. Can I say, though, this lament is not an instantaneous process? He did wrestle. And yes, we read it in a minute, but that doesn't mean it only took him a minute to wrestle through it. But he did possess himself to let his lament turn to praise, because his orientation was heavenward the entire time, rather than his circumstances. Oh, that we may dwell in that shalom peace, knowing that in God we are secure whatever befalls us. And so in closing, let us have a life of lament, but lament that turns to praise. You know, one of the ways in which we can do this very practically with one another, let your brothers and sisters in Christ pour out their heart to you. And don't judge them for it. Pray with them. Weep with them. It's not ungodly. Help them unburden themselves. What a privilege it is that I can go to somebody who has a like-minded faith and I can say, I'm struggling. And as I do that, I'm lifting this burden off of me. And maybe that person is coming along and helping me lift it off. And then I'm setting it at the foot of the cross. And I say, not your will, or not my will, but yours, God. And then I step back and I say, not only do I know that even though I don't have relief, I can trust you. I look back, well, there's all the things you did for me, God. And even though this is coming at me this way, God is with me and he hears me. What a privilege. I don't know about you, but I've needed to lament many times. And thank goodness we can. I kind of see a lament like this. We've had a tree on our property for the last year. You sit on our back deck. And, you know, we're spoiled. We kind of got a country property. We look out to a vineyard. It's absolutely beautiful. Sun's coming down. Just God's creation is spectacular. But because of where this one spruce tree sits, when you sit there, it obscures 50% of this spectacular view. So I called in a guy to come and clean up the branches. I tried to do it myself first, fell off a ladder, broke my chainsaw. So I called in a guy. And I feel like a lament is a lot like this. You know that behind that thing that's got you, there's something good. And when you bring this to God, it's like the guy clearing away those branches, and all of a sudden you see the truth of who God is in his glory and the hope that you have, and it was there all along. That is our God. Let me close with Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, doesn't that just sound like Psalm 4? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, we thank you for this powerful truth in this psalm. We thank you that we can bring our burdens to you. We brought one to you this morning, Father, heavy, heavy, heavy. And God, we know that you hear it. We know that you are deeply invested in our lives. And while we don't know the way through this, we do trust you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning who are experiencing tremendous difficulty. I'm praying for relief. I'm praying that you bring them to a place of peace. And Father, if there's someone here this morning who needs to put a burden before you, may they do so. And then may they turn that burden into praise. Father, we thank you that you care about your children and that you've given us a way to reach out to you and to express the way that you've made us in a godly way. And I pray you be with us today. May we rejoice in you and in your Son, Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.